الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم The next attribute that brings a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haya. In one hadith, the Prophet said that إِنَّ الْحَيَا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ That haya is part of iman. Now, what exactly is haya? Haya means modesty, means chastity, it means shyness, means dignity, self-respect, honor. These are all different translations of this word haya. And really, it's a comprehensive term. And modesty, it doesn't just mean that it's the way that you dress up. It means that the way you live your life, which includes how you dress, how you walk, how you talk, what type of relationships you have with people, professional relationships or otherwise. So to live one's life in a way that you don't attract negative attention. And this is something about which a guy or a girl, they might say that, I don't know what it is, but this happens to me. But you must be doing something to attract that wrong type of attention. Saying something or walking in a certain way or dressing in a certain way. Sometimes there might be a person who can be very good looking, but everyone knows that this person you can't talk to. You won't want to talk to her. She's the type you won't want to mess with. In college, such people do get famous. There might be a person like that, but everyone knows that that's not the type of person that you can joke around with. Or you can be with that person that way. So haya, it's a very important term that we need to understand, because the lack of haya is number one obstacle for majority of us from getting this muhabbat of Allah, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether one is young or old, male or female, men or women, it's like a hole in the heart that no matter how many good deeds we do, it gets sucked out from that hole if you don't have this haya. And if you look at the deen of Islam, the deen of Islam teaches us how to fix ourselves from this bad habit and how to adorn ourselves with this haya. For haya is a very basic form of iman. It goes lazim malzum, it's connected with iman, they go hand in hand. If there is a person with less haya, means there is deficiency in their iman. The more haya that a person has, the more perfect will be their iman. They're twin sides of the same coin. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, he's actually coined a whole chapter in his book that haya shu'batun min al-iman. It's a branch of iman. And in our times, we are taught either apparently or otherwise that haya or modesty or shyness, it's not a good thing. So we should know that, it is actually a very good thing. There is a hadith mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim that once the Prophet was passing by another Sahabi, he was telling his brother that, you should not be so haya. You should not be so shy or modest. Like we say sometimes, I think you should be a bit more confident, bold, more outgoing. So he was saying something of that nature, that don't be so shy and modest. When the Prophet heard him saying this, he stopped. And he addressed both the Sahaba and said that Al-Haya la ya'ti illa bi khair. That Haya will not bring anything but khair. So why do you counsel one another not to have so much Haya? The more Haya that a person has, the more khair will be inside that person. In fact, another hadith, the Prophet said that Al-Haya khairu kullu, which can have two meanings, that everything about Haya is khair. Everything about haya is good. And then secondly, that all of khair can be found in haya. All of goodness is contained in haya. So the purpose of life is not to fulfill our lustful desires, but the purpose is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, and haya is the way to do it. And these days, due to advertisements and magazines and billboards with the internet, we're blasted with images. We're blasted with signals that are meant to eradicate our haya, desensitizing our spiritual heart. And many, you know, very few Muslims are saved from this, right? It's a choice that we have to make. The majority of the youth, they complain about this difficulty in controlling their gaze and controlling their desires and not having haya. You'll be amazed, in fact, how many middle-aged people and how many old people also have that same problem. They just don't tell it to anyone. But, you know, whatever bad habit you pick in your youth and you don't make tawbah from it, it will continue to follow you in your old age as well. So it's a need that we need to revive this branch of faith as well. And as a community as well, we have failed to address this problem, right? In our communities, we see that there's a lot of interaction that happens. And there's sort of very free intermingling of genders where sometimes haya is sacrificed. And sometimes you might find people saying that haya is, it's just a cultural practice. It's Asian culture, Pakistani, Indian culture. Why are you going to put that culture on us? No, this is not Pakistani Indian culture. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-haya ush-shu'batun min al-iman. And sometimes even haya gets lost even in Muslim organizations. So this is also another way why this is so important is because especially those of us who are trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are trying to become people of taqwa, trying to attain the muhabbat of Allah, this is the number one problem. We think that we are attaching ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we're in fact attaching ourselves to false loves. And sometimes we give excuses, right, to do this. It's like a hidden thing. A young college student says that I need to talk to my partner, right? I need to talk to her or I need to talk to him. I need to hang out with them because of my studies and project. And we can't be so strict and all. Sometimes we find a way to fulfill these unlawful desires and we make them look like it's all permissible. And then another thing we see is that a person says, ki wo to mere bhai ki tarah. With my behen ki tarah, they're just like my brother, my sister. And especially, you know, there's a culture that you just want to make every other person your rishtedar, right? Your relative. The fact of the matter is that you're not brothers and sisters in that sense, right? And we need to understand this, right? And sometimes women are very sharp with this. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, right? You can recognize how the other person is looking at you in one split second. A person can judge from the eyes, the kind of look they have. So this is something which is a very important topic for us. And Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran, in this ayah, that وَالْحَافِزِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِزَاتِ, so mentioning separately the male plural and the feminine plural. Right? Male plural and the feminine plural. And the second thing Allah mentioned, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. And then Allah says that those people who protect themselves, who protect their haya, they will have this ajre azim from Allah. Now, what exactly is this definition of haya? So the muhaddithin, they explain that this is that quality which prompts a person to stay away from those things which are displeasing in the eyes of Allah. And it's al-haya khayru kulluhu. There's khair inside this. If a person has this haya, we should give gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we should try to work on this haya. Now, part of the problem is that we lack the knowledge of Quran. Quran speaks about haya in so many places and sort of Quran motivates us, gives us so many incentives that we adorn ourselves with this sifat of haya. So for example, one ayah, which we decided at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that haya is so great that if you can save yourself from this one sin, this unlawful, lustful desires and have haya, then أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. That Allah will forgive. That's how the ayat ends. Allah will forgive you for your sins. And you will have a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the signs of the true believers is this, that those who guard their chastity. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And then another place Allah says, وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ. That young people who wish to be married to pious and noble wives, Allah says that this is the principle, that if you are pious, then you will be married to a pious person. Right? And then again, وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ. Right? So Allah mentioned the men, the women, that pious men for pious women and pious women for pious men. Pious and noble wife or a noble and pious husband. So if you wish to be married to someone who is pious and noble, it's better that we also become better first. And also Allah mentions another place that إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ذَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. That Allah, my Lord, has forbidden these fahisha, which is the opposite of haya. Haram to lose our haya, whether openly or secretly. Now here a question comes up that then why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this feeling? You know, these days, you know, it's such a big problem because, you know, we also have this internet and some people like to call this the enter the net, and they think that the kids are studying and then the mother comes over the phone and they're fulfilling their desires, their fantasies in a way that other people can't even catch them, right? It's become extremely easy to privately commit sin because nobody finds out. And sometimes people do it on the internet because nobody knows anyone on the other side. People live, you know, they're living this extreme fantasy lives on the internet. They can be whoever they want or whatever they want. Nobody knows whether this person is 50 years old or 20. They send a picture of someone saying, this is me. And this is how common these things are. Then a person might ask that, okay, if this is so bad, then why did Allah put this desire in my heart in the first place? And the reason is because there are about three reasons why this desire is there that a person has for the opposite gender. One natural reason is that we are supposed to have this so that we can reproduce. It's a natural reason. It's part of being human that when you get nikah, then through this, a person can do this in a permissible way. And this is for the human race and humanity to grow. And the second reason is that all these things, this pleasure even, this pleasure of our shahwa, this is actually, it comes in the Quran, that Allah has made this dunya and we should derive pleasure in the permissible way. We should taste the bounties and blessings, but in a permissible way. And if we do that, then a person will be rewarded for that. So it's actually a blessing, provided we do it in the permissible way. Once the Sahaba, they asked that if we have relations with our spouse, we'll get sawab on that. And the Prophet ﷺ said that it's like nafil ibadah. And the Sahaba were shocked that how is that possible? This is just we are fulfilling our desires. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you do it in an impermissible way, then won't you have earned a guna? And they said, yes. So now if you're doing it in a permissible way, you'll earn the sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, you know, some scholars explain this, that the reason why this desire is there is Allah wants us to give a taste. The look, you're going crazy about this desire of this world, and people go crazy to fulfill this desire just for a few minutes of passion, a few minutes of pleasure. They're willing to do crazy things just for a few minutes. Or they spend some little bit of time with that person. But all of this is just a taste, a drop of what Jannat is supposed to be. Right? It's like a small representative taste to make us realize the taste of Jannah. And that if we can remember, if we can safeguard ourselves here in this dunya, then Allah is going to make it easy for us to get into Jannah and get the taste and lazat of Jannah. That's why in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that anyone who safeguards for my sake what is between his jaws and what is between his legs, I will guarantee Jannah for that person. Right? So, And another reason why this is there is because this is a test from Allah. Allah wishes to test our heart for taqwa, that how much do we follow and give in to the desires of our nafs, and how much do we follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes, you know, there's a story in the book. There was a woman and there was a man who was madly in love with this girl. And he said that, "I really want to meet you and I want to be with you, etc., etc." And she said to him that, "I want to meet you even more than you want to meet me." In fact, there is a hadith that women, they actually have more desire than men, but it's hidden due to their haya. But then she said that sentence, that I want to meet you more, but I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said this thing, that I have more fear for Allah ta'ala than I have desire for you. And when she said this, that was enough to change that person's heart. So sometimes when a person has this fear of Allah, it can be a means to change the heart of someone else as well. Then, why is this shahwa, this unlawful, lustful desire so bad? And the reason is because they have a very bad effect on a person's life, right? Emotionally, it exhausts them. There's an excessive emotional attachment. It becomes like an addiction, becomes like a drug, right? They just need to talk to that person, and the whole media is sort of playing on this emotion. These mobile companies, they say, karo raat, karo baat, sari raat, right? Just speak all night. And it has emotionally, it wears a person down. And then sometimes it also leads to academic problems and professional life as well. It also has physical damages. Person becomes tired when they give in to those desires. They become sad, they become depressed. It's mentioned that people, they end up looking older, right? They're much older than they look. The guys have been in multiple relationships. They don't look like young guys anymore. They might be 24, 25, but they look like 35, 40. And the same thing with women. It's something that physically drains that person. And then it also has spiritual detrimental effects, right? When a person gives in to these desires, and they'll say, "Chalo, I'll make tawbah, I'll do this. Abhi tumhe, let me just do this." And Allah says that, you know, Allah has made one heart. Allah hasn't made two hearts for us. It's one heart. Either we can give it to Allah, or we can give it to makhluk, or to these lustful desires that a person has. Often, sometimes religious people, young men, young women, right, with good family backgrounds and everything, sort of listening to Darse Quran or even coming to classes, and you see sooner or later they drop out. They're slipping in their deen. Why? Because they're attached to somebody else. Now their feelings, their desires, their emotions are attached to someone else. So this happens. And when the love becomes excessive, right, there is a hole, it puts holes in one's heart. And the holes, they drain out the love of Allah. One can't have two loves in one heart. One can't say, "I love this," and then I love the, you know, these impermissible things. And at the same time, Allah se bhi mohabbat hai. Right? Sometimes our own tabiat will tell us, right, that Allah has given us this heart which is for one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, ultimately it's about the ghairat of Allah. Why is this unlawful, lustful desire so bad? Why giving into those desires is so bad? Because of the ghairat of Allah. There's an analogy of a woman that she is married, but the situation is that sometimes, you know, things are not available at her home, the food is not enough, the money is not enough. She has these ups and downs and she bears all of that. But the day her husband looks at somebody else, she's like, "I took everything. I took this and I took that, but I can't take you eyeing another woman as a wife. This is something no woman will take." Just like this analogy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also saying that, okay, you have these small sins. Sometimes you're delaying your salah. Sometimes you're lying. There are a lot of sins that we do. But looking at someone with that level of love and it being excessive for someone else, that brings out the ghairat of Allah. Just like a woman would have this ghairah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has this ghairah. And Allah ta'ala is saying that, how can he look with that love at somebody else with such excessive attachment? Your heart was made for the love of Allah. The whole purpose of a life is to put this muhabbat of Allah in our hearts. So then the question comes that how can we control our desires and how can we inculcate this haya in our heart? How? And there are several ways we can do this. One of them is to control this mentally. And the scholars have mentioned that mentally, number one, the best thing is to reflect what you call fikr. One is fikr, the other is zikr. Fikr is that you reflect. What do you reflect on? Reflect upon your death. In a hadith, the Prophet said that the grave remembers you 70 times during a day. We should at least remember the grave, right? And another hadith, the Prophet said that if you knew what you would undergo when a person dies, you will never eat or drink with a desire. And this is the killer of those unlawful desires. It ends those unlawful desires. So this fikr, this it's something to remember. If I control this now, then I'll be forgiven by Allah. I'll be saved from the fire of Jahannam, right? There's a famous incident that happened before the partition in India, Pakistan. There was a guy, a young man who used to study in a madrasa in Delhi. And at that time, there was this pre-partition riots that were happening in that area. And one evening, a woman was walking by the masjid and a riot broke out. And she ran into the masjid to save herself. And then it was just her and him in the masjid. And it was a small madrasa mosque. And this guy was sitting there and he asked her to leave. And she said that I can't leave because there's this big riot going outside. And she said, can I just stay here for some time? I'll just sit over there. So he sat there, he put his back towards her and he kept reading. And back then they used to have these candles for light. And he had this candle and he kept on putting his finger on the candle the whole night. Right after some few minutes, he put his finger inside that candle. Khair, in the morning, the rite was finished. So she said that everything is fine now, I'll go home. But tell me one thing, that why were you putting your finger in that candle so often? And he said that, no, I don't want to tell you. And she insisted that tell me, otherwise I won't leave. And then he said that, you know, in the nighttime, I was having these thoughts, these khayalat, that you are alone and I'm alone. So when I used to think like that, I would put my hand on the candle. So that will keep reminding me of Jahannam. That fire, that intensity will be even greater than this. Right? So she was really impressed by this. And when she went home, she told her father. And the father was a righteous person. And he said that, okay, he's a good boy. So they got happily married, right? So these stories have a purpose, right? That's one way to think, that you think, reflect about death, to reflect about akhirah. That will help us control our desire. And the second thing is zikr, remembrance of Allah. When a person has bad thoughts, generally then the bad actions will follow as well. And the remembrance of Allah is a polish for the heart. It's a cleaning agent. One of the mashayikh used to say that, oh my students, oh my friends, when you commit this sin, you draw a curtain, you put the blinds, you lock the door, you ensure that none of the people in the dunya can see you. And when you're done with that sin, you're so careful about erasing the history, erasing the steps, lest people find out. You're ashamed, you have haya before people. Are you not ashamed over the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can still see you? Yani you, among all the beings who can see you, do you hold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the lowest of esteem? That I want to hide it from other people, but if Allah knows, Allah sees, it doesn't really matter. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see. This is what it means to have zikr, to have this remembrance that Allah is still watching me. And when a person thinks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more, that is going to cleanse our heart. Our human brain is a fascinating thing, right? We can think about Allah ta'ala all the time if we make this mujahida, right? If we just at the back of our heart, in the core of our heart, in the background level, we just think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's another thing, right, that can help us. And there's an English Christian saying, they say that an empty mind is a devil's workshop. So sometimes randomly when a person is free, a person is bored at night, and they think that let me go surf the net, and then surfing leads to other things, and then let me go talk to somebody on the phone, and then let me go SMS someone, and then sort of it's these things that lead to getting trapped. So when a person is alone excessively, this is also something that can lead to unlawful desires, or the way that a person may not be able to control those desires. So we should not give ourselves this opportunity. If there is some place, you know, we shouldn't go there, not encourage these feelings in our heart. So that's one sort of mental way, practical way to control. Then if you look in the Quran and the Sunnah, there are some natural ways that Allah Ta'ala has given us through which we can control this. I've already spoken about haya, right? Haya, how can we get this? A natural way is marriage. Marriage. The Prophet ﷺ said that get married. Because marriage fulfills, it's an opportunity through which you can fulfill these desires in a lawful way. When a person is happily and specially married, this is a natural solution. But again, the problem is that most of the parents, they relate this, realize this very, very late in their life, right? When things start getting spoiled, their kids, they delay. But we, you know, it's a natural solution, but we wait so long. We wait so long. And this is a general principle that if nikah becomes common, zina will become hard. And where marriages are difficult, zina becomes easier. And that's the type of society, unfortunately, that we are living in. That zina has become easy, and marriages, you have to wait till you're so old, right? For boys especially, they wait, right? So the real purpose of that marriage, which is to protect our desires, that's lost. It just becomes like a social fanfare, a big event. The actual reason is just lost in translation. So if, and not just marriage, for those who are married, marry someone you find pleasing. And this holds for women as well. That whoever makes an effort, right? Allah will make that person easy. Allah will make it easy for that person to get married. So we should try to look at this as well. And for those who are married, to have this love in our relationship. Men should look at their wives lovingly with affection. And likewise, wives should look at their husbands lovingly and with affection. Those people who put on a stern face for their wives, but they talk sweetly with other women, they're actually going against the spirit of the entire Quran. Because Allah is saying in the Quran that get litaskunu ilayha, get sukoon from them. Then another thing which the Prophet ﷺ taught us in a hadith is that, O young man, if you're unable to get married, fast. Fast. It doesn't mean that you are rich and settled and that you have a high level of qualification, right? Khair, you know, one thing is, right? And again, this is both equally for men and women, that you fast, because when you fast, you're actually making your nafs hungry. You're starving your nafs. And your nafs is actually what leads you to shahwat. It leads you to the unlawful, lustful desires. So that's the second thing, fasting. And the third thing is to control our gaze, to lower our gaze. And everyone talks about this, right? It's also in the Quran. And interestingly, it's mentioned in the Quran in a very clear way for both the believing men and the believing women. And the reason is because it's much easier to defeat the sin when it has just started, and much harder to get into that sin and then leave it later on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this in the Quran to both the believing men and believing women, that you should control your gaze. It comes in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, he once called a young man, and he was sitting there, and then there came a young Bedouin woman from a neighboring tribe. And then young girl, she came to ask something, and the young boy kept staring at her. So the Prophet ﷺ, with his finger, he gently turned the face of that boy away, that don't look at this girl. So here is what you call a practical application in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, about controlling the gaze, which is equally there for men and for women. And You know, yes, the first sight is accidental, and if you look at someone, that's forgiven, right? But you know, there's a way of looking at someone with desire. That's what a person has to control. And you know, we know this. There is a way of looking. The way that you look at your driver, the way that you look at your chowkidar, the way that you look at someone selling something. And then there's another way of checking someone out. That's the way that has been mentioned, the looking in that particular way. And well, this is tricky because everything, it begins getting spoiled with the sight, the things one should not look at. According to Sheikh Ahmed Sirindi Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that who's that person whose eyes are not in control, their heart will not be in control. And whose heart is not in control, their private parts will not be in control. You know, the eyes that put the seed of desires in the heart. And again, if you see something, sometimes there's a billboard or a person about whom you feel that he's attractive or she's attractive, and then you want to look at that person again. And nobody knows you did khayanat of the eyes, but Allah says in Quran that Allah knows the khayanat of the eyes. And that's another thing that we will know. It will require some mujahida, but if we do it for the sake of Allah, if you don't look, right? I'm not going to look. I know that person is sitting there. I know they're good looking. And still, I will look the other way because Allah will be pleased with me. And when a person does that, then Allah will put halawat the iman, sweetness of iman in that person's heart. Some scholars also write that at that time of sin, when you can commit that sin and nobody will know, at that time, if you don't sin and you avoid for the sake of Allah, you don't look where you shouldn't be looking at, and then you make dua at that time, that dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a time for kubuliyat dua. Now everyone, we want our prayers to be answered. We can do this 100 times every day. Every time we are tempted to do something wrong, which is many times throughout the day, and we don't do it for the sake of Allah, we look the other way, and then we make dua. This is what Allah Ta'ala promises for us. Now finally, what are the benefits? If a person has haya in their life, they can control these lustful desires and thoughts. It comes in a hadith, the first benefit is that a person's sins will be forgiven. When this tempts you, your desires tempt you, you're tempted to look, tempted to do something, tempted to think something. And if you control it for the sake of Allah, you dominate your nafs, right? Then Allah will forgive that person. He'll be forgiven, they'll be forgiven for all their previous sins. Imagine it's only a matter of a very small amount of time. If we can manage that situation, what are we getting in return? The forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, what we mentioned previously, that when you pray at that moment of temptation, that dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have to wait for Laylatul Qadr to get our duas accepted by Allah ta'ala. We can get Laylatul Qadr number of times, hundreds of times during the day, right? Done many, multiple times during the day. Because whenever we are tempted, and you have these moments of temptations, and if we turn away, don't look for the sake of Allah, it's a moment when du'as will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another benefit is that when one controls their desires and they have haya, then why do you do it? You're actually remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this counts as the remembrance of Allah. And because of this remembrance of Allah, Allah will put itminan in your heart. Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Allah will put itminan, his muhabbat, in your heart. And we should also, another thing we should remember is that this is a particular type of a sin which, if a person doesn't make tawbah, this will have an effect, and which will come even in our children, in our next generation. It affects our future generation and the men and the women of the family. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi wrote this. He wrote that if there's a person who does this zina, who gives into these lustful desires, and they don't do tawbah, if they fail to do tawbah, then at some point in their life, in their family, in their progeny, in their future generation, somebody will give into this sin. Somebody will do zina with a woman with his own family. Somebody will commit this crime with a member of his own family. Could be his wife, could be his daughter, could be his granddaughter, could be great-granddaughter, could be niece, could be anyone. So we should be careful about this. And this is the price that a person has to pay for this. So we should try to attach ourselves. And one way we can think about this, if all of this doesn't work, right, these different cures and remedies that we have mentioned, if all of them don't work, then at the very least what we can do is we can remind ourselves of this ayat of the Quran that Allah says that hasn't the time come for the people who believe in Allah and taqsha'a qulubahum li dhikrillah, that their hearts should fear Allah when Allah is mentioned. Right? When Allah is mentioned, our hearts should feel that Allah is watching us, Allah is looking at us, Allah is aware of us. And we should, one of the things that our teachers usually explain is that we have to make this our approach to life. Imagine what the punishment of the eyes could be, right? There's a principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if a person sins for the first time, then Allah ta'ala is al-haleem, Allah is forbearing. Then still, if a person doesn't make tawbah and they commit that sin for the second time, then Allah Ta'ala is as-sattar. Allah Ta'ala covers our sin, conceals our sins. But then the third stage is if still a person doesn't repent and they continue with this, then finally Allah Ta'ala decrees punishment. So we should think that we are at the second stage. We should try to repent before we reach this third stage. So this is something which has to be made, it's a way of life that a person controls their gaze. It's not a reaction. A reaction to something, it's about living that particular kind of a life, right? And one of the major things is for those who are married, we should keep your spouse happy. When a husband and wife, they love one another, that inculcates haya, it generates haya. It'll be difficult for that husband to gaze unlawfully at someone else. Difficult for the wife to gaze unlawfully at someone else. The husband should smile and receive his wife with love. The wife should smile and receive her husband with love when he comes home, right? They should dress up for each other. They should praise each other, give gifts to each other. And anyone who thinks that he's above these things, they're trying to fool Allah Ta'ala. This is very simple. If you don't smile at your spouse, you will smile at some random person on the street. Rather, or something, whatever, right? We'll try to search for sukoon outside. If you don't search for that sukoon within, at our home, either we do it knowingly or unknowingly. And perhaps the biggest price that we pay for this sin is that we lose the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot love ghayrullah and still love Allah. And I'll just end with a story which is in the Quran about Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. That's a beautiful story which teaches us, right, what is haya and what is the benefit of haya. In the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, we see that there are two groups of people that are described, right? There are two groups of people that are described. One is Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam himself, even though he's one person, is like a jamaat, is like a whole group. And the other group is the 11 other brothers of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Now both of these groups, they had a test that came on them. When the brothers had the opportunity to do a sin, in between they did this mashwara, they consulted, that let's do this sin right now, and afterwards we will become good. So that's how they're thinking. We'll do this sin right now. Afterwards, we'll live a good life. We won't do anything bad after that. So they dropped their brother Yusuf al-Islam in the well. And then you guys know the rest of the story. So that was their view. Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, on the other hand, when he went, when he was taken as a slave to the palace, and then the king's wife. So imagine she must have been a very beautiful woman, right? She must be very pretty, right? And but she became bedazzled by the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And she was waiting for an opportunity, and then she made it, right? She made some arrangement where they were alone, and then she offered herself to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, if you look at this, this was the perfect opportunity. They're alone. The woman herself is presenting herself to him, and there's no fear of being embarrassed because you're not in your own house or in your own society. Nobody even knows you, right? You're in a different land altogether. Plus, at that time, Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam was not married. He didn't have any lawful way to fulfill his own natural desire at that time. So Shaitan pushed Zulaikha and said to invite Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam to do this sin. So she said, Sayyid, come to me, hasten to me. And immediately Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam said, and this is in the Quran, that Ma'azallah, that I seek the refuge in Allah. And then even after that, Zulaikha, she accused him of trying to do something to her and had him put in jail, in prison. And he had to spend several years in jail for having to stay, for having, you know, for all of this, right? For just saying no to this crime, to this sin. And then all of that was fine with him. He loved to be in jail as opposed to commit this sin. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam for his years in jail and eventually made him one of the ministers of the king, the finance minister. And then there came such a time in which there was a famine all across Egypt. And Yusuf al-Islam, he had the food for the whole community. He controlled the distribution of wheat, the grain. Now the two groups, they meet. Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam and the 11 brothers, they come. The brothers are coming to get some wheat. When they came to get the wheat, now look at the story in the Quran. It's a very strange, wonderful story. They said, they looked at Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam and said, that, Ya Ayyuhal Aziz, O respected minister, we ask you to give us our share. We are starving. We don't even have the full price that we can pay to you. Give us some sadaqah and charity. And Allah will reward the people who give charity. But Yusuf al-Islam, he recognized them. They didn't recognize him. He recognized them. They're my brother. So he asked his brothers, then ma fa'altum bihi Yusuf? Do you remember what you did with Sayyidina Yusuf, with Yusuf? And now all of a sudden, the brothers, when they hear the name Yusuf, they're stunned. How is this person asking us about that person? And they looked at him again. And then they said that, are you Yusuf? And Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam said that, Ana Yusuf. Yes, I'm Yusuf. Wahaza akhi. And this is my brother Binyamin. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered his grace and favor upon us. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with that person who has taqwa. And Allah is with that person who has sabr, who has patience. If you look at this, the two groups, the first group said that we will do this sin and we'll become good afterwards. Allah ta'ala made that group like beggars. They're begging. And Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam was that group who said that I won't do this sin from the start. And Allah ta'ala made him the king, the finance minister, gave him all the treasures of that region. So we learned this lesson from the Quran that if we have haya and we adopt the way of Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam and we don't sin at the outset, we keep ourselves from sinning from the very outset, then Allah's Father will bring us to that elevation that He gave to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhis-salam. But if we start to think like his brothers, that let me go ahead and sin and I'll become good later on, let me sin now and then I'll become pious later, then we'll end up like the brothers of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhis-salam. We'll become like beggars, we'll be dependent on other people. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to control our desires, to inculcate haya, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala adorn us and beautify us with the sifat of haya and with the sifat, may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his muhabbat, his love. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make a dua, inshallah. Subhana rabbil al wahhab, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, humne jitne guna kiye, humare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, humare andar haya ki kami hai. Allah mein haya naseeb farma dijiye. Allah humare andar se haya ki sifat paida farma. Ya Rabbi Kareem, hamein aankhon mein haya naseeb farma. Ya Rabbi Kareem, dil ke andar haya ata farma. اپنے ذہن میں خیالات میں حیا نصیب فرما, اپنی خواہشات میں حیا عطا فرما. اللہ ہم نے اپنے خیالات اور جذبات میں حیا نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم, ہمیں با حیا والی زندگی نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ, ہم اپنے گناہوں سے توبہ تائب ہوتے ہیں. اللہ, جتنے ایسے گناہ کیے, اللہ, ہم تمام گناہوں سے توبہ تائب ہوتے ہیں. یا رب کریم, قبولیت دعا کا وقت ہے. اللہ, ہماری اس دعا کو قبول فرما لیجئے. اللہ, ہماری اس توبہ کو قبول فرما لیجئے. اللہ, ہماری ندامت کو قبول فرما لیجئے. اللہ, ہماری شرمندگی کو قبول فرما لیجئے. اللہ, ہمارے گناہ سے بچا لیجئے. اللہ, اس گناہ کے اثرات سے بچا لیجئے. اللہ, ہم یہ گناہ خود نہیں کرنا چاہتے. اللہ, آج سمجھ میں آئی ہے, یا رب کریم, اس گناہ کو چھوڑنا چاہتے ہیں لیکن اللہ, ہم کمزور ہیں. اللہ, ہم گناہ خود چھوڑنا بھی چاہیں لیکن نفس اور شیطان ہم سے گناہ کروا دیتا ہے. یا رب کریم, اپنی رحمت سے ہمارے دل سے گناہ نکال دیجئے. اس گناہ کی لذت کو دل سے نکال دیجئے. اس گناہ کے مزے کو دل سے نکال دیجئے. اللہ, ہمیں اپنی عبادت کا مزہ عطا فرما دیجئے. اس گناہ کی کراہت ہمارے سینوں کے اندر عطا کر دیجئے. اللہ, اپنی رحمت سے ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما, دلوں کو پاک فرما, ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما. اللہ, ہمارے سینوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما. یا رب کریم, ہم نے جتنی بد نظریاں کریں, اللہ, ہماری تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ, آپ جانتے ہیں, اللہ, ہم لوگوں سے تو گناہ چھپا سکتے ہیں, اللہ, آپ سے تو گناہ نہیں چھپا سکتے. اللہ, آپ ہماری حقیقت کو جانتے ہیں. اللہ, اللہ, ہم تمام گناہوں سے توبہ تائب ہوتے ہیں. اللہ, جو گناہ ہم نے محفلوں میں کیا, اللہ, ان کو معاف فرما. اللہ, جو گناہ ہم نے تنہائیوں میں کیا, اللہ, ان کو بھی معاف فرما. اللہ, جو گناہ ہم نے خلوتوں میں کیا, ان کو بھی معاف فرما. اللہ, جن گناہ کا کسی کو نہیں پتہ, صرف آپ کو پتہ ہے, اللہ, ہم ان گناہوں سے بھی توبہ کرتے ہیں. اللہ, اپنے آپ کو پورے طور پہ اللہ آپ کے سامنے پیش کرتے ہیں. اللہ, اپنے آپ کو اپنے صاحب کے سامنے حاضر کرتے ہیں. اللہ, آپ تو سب جانتے ہیں. اللہ, ہم اپنے آپ کو پورے طریقے سے پیش کر رہے ہیں. یا رب کریم, ہم چاہتے ہیں کہ ہمارا ہر گناہ معاف ہو جائے. یا رب کریم, اپنی رحمت عطا کر دیجئے. اللہ, اپنی مغفرت عطا کر دیجئے. اللہ, آپ تواب ہیں. اللہ, ہماری توبہ کو قبول فرما لیجئے. اور اللہ, اللہ, اس گناہ کی کراہت ہمارے سینوں کے اندر بھر دیجئے. اس گناہ کو چھوڑنا ہمارے لیے آسان بنا دیجئے. اللہ, ہمارے لیے مشکل ہے, اللہ, آپ کے لیے تھوڑی مشکل ہے. اللہ, آپ ہمارے لیے مدد فرما دیجئے. اللہ, بچہ پریشان ہوتا ہے تو باپ کی طرف دوڑتا ہے. اللہ, بندہ پریشان ہوتا ہے وہ تو پروردگار کی طرف لوٹتے ہیں. اللہ, ہمیں اس گناہ نے پریشان کیا ہے. اللہ, آپ ہماری اس پریشانی کو دور کر دیجئے. اللہ, ہمیں اپنی مدد عطا کر دیجئے. اللہ, اپنی نصرت عطا کر دیجئے. اللہ, اپنی طاقت سے ہمیں اس گناہ سے بچا لیجئے. یا رب کریم, جب بچہ چلتا چلتے تھک جاتا ہے تو وہ اپنی باپ کی طرف دیکھتا ہے کہ ابو, میں تھک گیا چلتے چلتے. اللہ, آپ ابو, مجھے آپ گودی میں اٹھا لیں. اللہ, ہم بھی اس راستے پہ چلتے چلتے تھک گئے. اللہ, گناہ سے اپنے آپ کو بچانا چاہتے ہیں لیکن بچتے بچتے کر دیتے ہیں. یا رب کریم, اب تھک چکے ہیں. اللہ, جس طرح بچہ تھکا تھا, اس نے باپ کو پکارا. اللہ, ہم تھک چکے ہیں. اللہ, آپ کو پکارتے ہیں. اللہ, آپ کی رحمت کو پکارتے ہیں. اللہ, آپ کو اپنی رحمت پہ اتنا ناز ہے. آپ اپنی رحمت اتنا عطا کرنا چاہتے ہیں. اللہ, ماں سے بھی زیادہ رحیم ہے. 70 ماؤں سے بھی زیادہ محبت اور رحیم اور کریم ہے. یا رب کریم, اپنی رحمت عطا کر دیجئے. اللہ, آج اپنی رحمت عطا کر دیجئے. اللہ, اپنی رحمت سے اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما لیجئے. اس گناہ سے اللہ ہماری جان چھڑا دیجئے. یا رب کریم, اپنی رحمتوں کے ساتھ معاملہ فرما دیجئے. اللہ, ہمارے برے عملوں کو نیکیوں سے بدل دیجئے. یا رب کریم, آپ نے قرآن میں ہمیں فرمایا ہے, فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, کہ درگزر کر دو. اگر کوئی تمہارے ساتھ برائی کرے, اس کو درگزر کر دو, معاف کر دو, اور اس کے ساتھ اچھائی کا سلوک کرو. اللہ, اگر ہم کمزوروں کو یہ حکم ہے کہ ہم اور لوگوں کے گناہوں کو معاف کر دیں اور ان کے ساتھ اچھائی کا سلوک کریں, اللہ, ہم بھی تو برے ہیں. اللہ, ہم بھی تو آپ کے در پہ آئے ہیں. اللہ, آپ بھی وہی صفت, وہی معاملہ ہمارے ساتھ فرما دیں. دیجئے اللہ, آپ بھی وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَصْفَحُ وَلَا معاملہ کر دیجئے اللہ, میں معاف کر دیجئے اللہ, آپ کو معافی پسند بھی ہے اللہ, ان آپ کا نام بھی اللہ العفو ہے اللہ, آپ کو معاف کرنا بھی پسند ہے اللہ, ہم آپ سے معافی مانگ بھی رہے ہیں اللہ, میں معاف کر دیجئے اللہ, ہمارے ساتھ اچھائی کا معاملہ فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم, رحمت کا معاملہ فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم, اپنی رحمت سے اللہ اللہ میں تقوی کے لیے قبول فرما, اللہ میں حیا والی زندگی کے لیے قبول فرما, اللہ جو مانگا ہے عطا فرما, اللہ جو مانگنا چاہیے تو نہیں مانگ سکے اپنی رحمت سے نصیب فرما. صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقی محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.